You're listening to the Process Madness Podcast with Michael D. Wilson. Here's the deal. Business operations and processes are straight up anarchy for most companies, creating unhappy teams, customers, and business owners. It's time to get off the merry-go-round. We'll be deep diving into topics that are directly related to business improvement and the quality of life for those who support and run them. If you're with it, like, share, and subscribe. Let's go. Here's your host.
Hey everyone, welcome to Process Madness. Your host, Michael Wilson here, founder and CEO of Processology. And today we have the pleasure of speaking with Jake Jordan, founder of Impact Over Attention. Hey Jake, so if you could tell us a little bit about your company and what you do, and then we'll jump into some of the process madness you may have experienced throughout your business or your career overall.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Michael. Absolutely. Like you said, I'm the founder of Impact Over Attention, and I'm a marketing mentor for cause-driven organizations. And so that can be nonprofit or that can be for good, for profit. And really, we work on content delivery, social media presence, and building teams around processes in the marketing department to make sure that the stuff gets done right.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So if you could just, I guess we can just dig in, right? This whole thing is about process madness and really trying to help people see that there's another layer to their business, right? There's marketing, for example, and then there's the marketing process of the way that they're actually how they're marketing, not so much what they're marketing. Does that make sense?
Right.
If you could tell us a little bit about your experience with that, maybe in your own business or working with someone on some process madness that maybe caused some frustration, maybe they weren't getting the results they wanted. What were some of the things you were able to do to overcome that? And what did that look like before and after?
Yeah. And I think probably that's why you and I have clicked as we've gotten to know each other, Michael, is because what you market is important, but how you do it's as important or more important. Absolutely. Because consistency is a big issue that comes up a lot of places. So, I was on the ad agency side in my second career. And, we spent a lot of time figuring out what to market and, going through big budgets with big companies and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's funny. My best agency experiences were the ones that were so well defined on who did what, when it would happen, and automating pieces of it that we could. Those were the ones that got us the most results, not the ones that were the most creative or the ones that, had the best ideas or the best talent on it. It was 100% of the time, the ones that got completed and executed on time with consistency. It's how business runs.
The thing is, you can sit in the room and talk strategy all day. If you don't actually put it in place, then, it's what's the point? And then the other side to that, I think, like you said, like when you have, the pieces are people, the systems and different things that are put in place and they're working together consistently, then that's when you got to see results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the big kind of ahas that happened is when AI was coming out and everyone was trying to combine systems and do it with AI, they forgot the middle step, which was, hey, we still have tools in place like ClickFunnels is really famous for this.
Yeah.
And they took, the 60 different small little tools you were using to build funnels on the internet and just housed them all in one spot and let them talk to each other. And it was like, that's all they did. Sure, they have some great material, but like,
right. They didn't actually create anything new. They just put it together. Right.
Yeah. You mean I can do all this in one spot and I know what each piece is doing?
Absolutely. So, I remember when ClickFunnels thing came out and obviously they did great marketing on that too.
Oh yeah.
But one of the things that I always, it's a struggle for me is systems are great, right? ClickFunnels, the Infusionsofts and the Entreports and all of these are all great systems, but that's what they are, systems, and they're meant to support a process, right? So just like you can create a marketing plan and a marketing strategy, but you have to then figure, okay, how are we actually going to do this? How are we actually going to roll all this out? What systems do we need? Marketing automation systems? What do you need? And so I think a lot of times these software companies, they will sell themselves as a solution instead of a tool to support the solution.
Right. 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 So, I think you have the same issue with the tools as you do with the marketing folks is, hey, we have all the answers. We have all the strategy. Right. Yeah. But then it's like, well, you need the tools, but then the tools are guilty of the same thing going, no, we're the solution. We have the tools. And it's like, you have to be able to marry the two together to get the result.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's say this. So I guess tell me a little bit about, you know, a process or a situation that could be, again, this could be in your own business or even with a client where, you know, you have that frustration, right? Like all of us, when we invest in processes, it's typically a frustration. We're not getting the results we want. You know, maybe we're losing top talent. Maybe we're not getting leads, whatever it is. Where you have that kind of before and then after, like, what did that look like? And why did you even take on that improvement process? Right. Like, it could be a program that you have where maybe you ran it a certain way before, but now you're running it a different way because you see that it was a better way to do it.
Yeah. So I actually pivoted in my own business on the type of consulting I did about 2 years ago. And because one of the main reasons I left ad agency was the fact that I just really felt like things were not effective. Mm. We were just not pulling stuff across the finish line and clients would hire us for 6 months to 18 months. And at the end of that time, we would be time to restart or to get them to ante up and go again. They were like, I mean, this relationship was awesome and we got some great ideas, but we just don't feel like we got the results we wanted, you know? And so like when I left ad agency, I was like, I'm going to only do things that are effective. I'm tired of, you know, big promises and even best intentions, right? Not that there's anything wrong with people at ad agency. It's just like, you know, effectiveness was not there. And so I quickly fell into the same traps was, I want to make sure that they see how smart I am so that they'll hire me again. I want to make sure, you know, that I'm bringing the bleeding edge technology so that they know I'm on top of my game. You know, all those traps you fall into as a marketer, I was doing the same thing. And I took a long, hard look after one particular client that I had that I really was invested emotionally with them. That's kind of one of the reasons I do the cause-driven stuff is I really care about getting results for these people because they're helping other people. You know, the guy just told me straight to my face. He was like, look, Jake, I like you and I think you're really smart, but I don't think this is going to work. Like we're just not getting there. And so I had to take a hard look at myself and go, what am I missing? And it's what I've always been missing. And what I've hired teams for or hired people like you to consult me on or things like that is I did not have a process in place to onboard well. And so I was losing things from strategy to execution. Yeah. Because those things were not being documented. They weren't being put in place. They weren't being followed up on by me or the clients. So that was a big kind of aha I had. And so since then, you know, one of the major things I've focused on in my like monthly goals is what's something that I can turn into a process or have a tool pick up for me. And I don't accomplish that every month, right? But every month I'm asking myself that question. Yeah. What is some work that I'm doing that I don't need to be doing?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, one real good thing is, you know, what we do is documentation and process improvement. But I think especially if you're a coach or a consultant and you look at, you know, one day I want to scale this business to be a large organization where maybe I'm not the one doing the coaching and consulting. If that's your overall vision, then I think right now is the best thing is like you said, every month, pay attention to what you're doing and document that.
Right.
Because one, that's how you're going to be able to improve what you're doing. But two, if you decide to bring someone else into your team, you already now you know what you're doing, right? It's not all just in your head.
And even if you're not wanting to bring more coaches on and you want to keep that part, it allows you to do more of that because you're not worried about the other stuff, right? That's what it is for me.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle for me. I'm not trying to scale this particular thing into a massive business. This is what I love doing. And so I just want to do more of it. So that's kind of the approach that I had taken. And like, there's a project right now, actually, that I'm working on, that it's a group, that I've got pulled together and it's about really helping them discover some framework and some process for their own accountability for the things that they care about getting done. Right. And as I was doing it, like day one, I was like, if I don't document this as I go each day, I will yet again lose the opportunity to have, you know, put something in writing that now I don't have to go do it all again. I can be more engaged with the group, you know, and things like that. So it's a constant improvement, right?
Absolutely. I think that's you got to document what you're doing so that you, like you said, one, you don't have to do it again. It's much easier to do it as you're going through it to, as you're discovering, like, okay, this is the best way to do this. Then to try to, like, you know, like you said in your group, then to get through the entire process and then go back and remember what you did to document it, right? That's going to be a challenge in some cases. So, well, so one of the things that I like to talk about a lot when I'm speaking with entrepreneurs and talking to people is when, like, especially with the process side, is I feel like a lot of business owners will, or businesses period, will focus on what you can see, right? So things like the logos, the websites, the social media profiles and messaging and all that stuff's important. Don't get me wrong. I think every bit of that's important, but they don't focus on the stuff underneath, right? The strategy, the processes, the systems that they're using to actually do whatever they're trying to do. And if I give a, I use cake businesses in almost everything. I have no clue why, but if I give an example of a cake business, it's like, you know, you have, you know, you spend money on your logo, you spend money on the graphics on your website and you do all that, but you don't spend money on, you know, the quality materials that you're using to make the cakes or the process that those cakes go through and things like that. So I just kind of just curious on your view on that, on like in a way that I, in one of my webinars, what I do is I have like this nice, beautiful Tesla. And I know Teslas don't have engines. I just love Teslas. Is this nice, beautiful Tesla, but then the picture on the side of it is like a rusty engine because people are have this beautiful car of a business, but everything else is kind of falling apart under the scene. So I'm just kind of curious what your view is on that.
So like specifically for some of the stuff that I do, right, is I like to help people create better content that's actually engaging their customers, right? And so a lot of people fall into whether it's just chasing the latest platform, on TikTok, right? Mm-hmm. Or whether it's I need to make some content go viral so that I can get seen. You know, my people know I'm out there. Like, same idea. People are focusing on this shiny exterior of I'm putting all this content out, that's getting all this light, all these likes and engagement, and I'm getting popular on TikTok, and I'm an influencer, and people know me, and blah blah blah. But like, what the ugly underbelly of the internet that I think a lot of people subconsciously know is that 98% of those people don't make any money, right?
Yeah.
Those are not businesses. Those are social media presence, right? And those are blog popularity. Yeah. And so that's where, you know, I was, you know, and still occasionally fall back into that trap is that I was looking for the wrong things. And I feel like businesses do the same thing because they've been told that's the right thing to do. Go do a blog, go do a podcast, go do a YouTube channel, you know, post every day on social media. None of that matters. Number one, if you don't have strategy behind it. But number two, if you don't have a process that will help you do it the right way every time, right? Because you can't expect to show up every single day and be perfect. So one of the things that we talk about in my accountability group is it's okay to screw up. We're not perfect, but you need a process to look at your own day at, right? So that's kind of one way. And then another way that we look at it is that if you're not set up to put something through a system, you can't effectively test what's working because there's way too many variables. There's way too many things that teammates can drop the ball. You can drop the ball. Things can change to no fault of your own. If you don't have something in place for that, then your testing is not going to be accurate. And in marketing, testing is really important.
Absolutely. I mean, testing, you have to measure, you have to test, measure what's happening so that you can see where those opportunities for improvements are, right? Like whether you're running a program or you got a website or you're running ads or whatever it is that you're doing, if you don't have a way to measure that, how do you improve it, right? So one thing I wanted to say with messaging, you were talking about that is because I've personally been guilty of this where it's like you feel like because you're a business, you have to put out content. So then you just post whatever just to be I guess in the pot, I guess what everybody else, I guess you can call it. You know, but rather, you know, that content is impactful or not, who knows, right? Like, cause you're just posting it out. So really being able to, and you know, me and you've done some work together where it's like trying to, you know, dial that in for ourselves. It's like, you know, we've talked about before where I say, you know, processes are not a sexy topic. So how do you create content that people want to consume?
Right
under that, around that topic. So it's definitely, I feel like it's important to strategically plan what you're going to be posting on social media and what type of blog posts and content you're creating, and not creating content just to create it.
It's intimidating for people to think, oh, I got to have a strategy for posting content, right? Because a lot of people don't naturally know how to do that, right? They're experts in the business they do, which is why the content industry is so big, honestly, because people know they need it. But it's also, I mean, the way that I teach and train is a process too. I don't change the way that I help people create good content. I have a way I do it every single time, right? And it, you know, a lot of times that's, I'm improving my process, right? It's not that I don't have one. It's like in the past, it was, what are popular things online? What can I find in Google from SEO, blah, 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 right? That was my process. Now my process is, what are people asking for? Am I serving my customers? All right, let's turn around and write content about that, you know? So at the end of the day, messaging and content, you're right. It is better to post something better than nothing. I do think there is truth to that, but that's like, I'm going to post something for the next 30 days so I can figure out what to post. Not just, I'm going to post because it's better than nothing to infinity, right? Because then you're just wasting time.
Well, and I guess, okay, so maybe I didn't wrote what I was saying. So for me, my question is it better to stop posting, create the strategy, and then start posting? Or should you just be posting and figure it out as you go?
So I literally think you should post less and engage more. That's my overall feeling about content in general. I don't think you need to post every day. If you can and you have the bandwidth and you have the process and you have the team, it will absolutely give you an advantage. If you don't, I think it hinders you. So I would say, like, if someone left this call today with a piece of marketing, content marketing advice, what they should do is post once a week and talk about a problem your customer has.
Yeah.
That will be useful no matter what. And then figure out your strategy.
Got it.
If you do nothing else, at least people are hearing you talk about their problems and they know that they can talk to you.
Yeah.
Right. That's good content. Yeah. But you want strategy along with that too.
Yeah, and I think the great thing about engaging, if you're engaging with your ideal clients, it gives you an opportunity to just listen, right? And really understand, what are their questions? What are they asking for? What are they, you know, what do they not like about whatever? And that in itself may give you some direction, I would think. So
absolutely. And unless you're talking to your customers, so you can ask them directly, like, are we doing everything we can do for you? Are we doing things badly? Are there other things we could do? Can we replace something? Like, you can't do that unless you're talking to them and engaging.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And it's like, even like in the process, like when we're working with clients, one of the big things I tell people all the time is that you have to create that feedback loop to ask clients, like, you know, if you're sending them through an assessment, that was meant to give them a result or give them some type of outcome, like knowing if that actually worked or not is valuable, right?
Yep, absolutely.
If you're just sitting them through it, you don't know if it's effective or not if you're not measuring that coming out of it. So absolutely. So let me ask this. So what are some inefficiencies that you, and this I'm going to aim to you maybe more personally, and you can also go with the client, that you felt were holding you back from getting the results you wanted to get, and what made you start to dig in deeper into those processes and try to find a way out of it?
Well, I mean, so like selfishly, I hate doing repetitive work. It's just, it's part of my personality.
Yeah.
So, and my focus is inefficiencies. It's just in content and messaging and social media. And like, so I geek out on inefficiencies. I loved it to look for them. And it's like the thing, like, where I'll be sitting with my wife and we'll be watching a commercial and I'll break down the commercial. Like, and she'll be like, are we doing this again? Really? Like, I can't help myself. Right. So I love looking for that stuff, but I hate repetitive. So that kind of that whole feedback loop that you're talking about, right, is if you don't build a feedback loop in place, it doesn't matter how much you spot inefficiencies or you try to improve them if you're not actually getting feedback. So for myself, you know, I would say that that's something that I'm constantly trying to improve by bringing people around me who are better at it than me. That's been my answer. I haven't been very good at it, but I absolutely know I need it and I want it. I crave it. So it's just a matter of getting better at doing what I say I'm going to do, probably doing that, which is why I mentioned earlier, I've got this thing I'm doing right now. I'm right in the middle of, you know, day seven of 30. I'm documenting as I go, because I know this is going to get rid of the inefficiencies next time, or at least 80% of it I would have had if I'd waited.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, documenting is such an important part of improving, period. You can't improve what you can't see. What I would say is, like, so when it comes to, like, the feedback, like, one of the things that I do that we do here at Processology is, like, if we go to the discovery call, we actually have a survey that goes on after that asks the client about that experience of the discovery call. Some people fill it out, some don't. But what it does for us is it lets us know, like, hey, the things we were talking about in that call, how did that come across? Did you understand? Did it make sense? Mm-hmm. But it also gives us an opportunity to say, you know, if they say, well, I didn't really understand the value in what you were selling, then that lets us know that, okay, we need to improve message call because we're not being clear, right?
Right.
So I definitely think that type of stuff is extremely important to be asking. And I found it, instead of asking my team, I found it more valuable to ask the client because I feel like they're going to give the rawest answer. over the employee.
And I think there's a couple of things there that come to mind, right? The first thing is, you talked to John, a friend of mine, in an episode that may be out already or maybe after mine, I don't know. But he taught me that setting expectations on sales calls is one of the most important things you can do to earn trust. Is letting people know upfront, hey, when you ask them, hey, here's what I hope to discuss on the phone call. Are you good with that? Don't head fake them, you know, to get on a phone call, because then they're just gonna be mad, right? Then when you get on the call, remind them, hey, remember, this is what we're gonna talk about. If at the end we want to try and work together, that's cool too. But I just want to really ask some questions and get to know more about where you're at, right? Is that cool? Okay, set expectations. So same thing comes, I think, to when you're setting up processes. You have to know what the goal is in mind. And you have to know what the expectations are, so that when you get to the end, like you're talking about with that feedback loop, I find this is an overall miss for people when it comes to their own message, right? Is that my dad, I think, told me this, is tell people what you're going to tell them, tell them, and then tell them what you told them, right? And that works in so many places in life. It's your content. Hey, do you have this issue? We're going to talk about this. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Summary. We talked about this. Here's your takeaway. I think you can do that with feedback loops with clients, feedback loops with teams, and set up your content. That's, to me, that's good content. It's here's what we're going to discuss, and here's your call to action at the end. You know, so that goes so far beyond just setting up a process. It's really something that I'm passionate about, and framing out expectations, which includes feedback loops, documentation, all different things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think expectations are extremely important because people don't feel blindsided. They don't feel like, you know, you're agreeing to what's going to happen in the conversation versus telling somebody this is what's happening, right?
Yeah. And I think one of the major mistakes people make in those feedback loops with their customers is they ask generic, like, hey, how would you change our discovery?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to really tell you anything specific unless I was really mad about it, because I don't really feel like I've been asked the right question, subconsciously, not consciously. Yeah. So like if you had some areas you feel like that the conversation didn't go as well as you hoped in the discovery, you know, make yourself a note, right?
Yeah.
And then as you go back for that feedback, I'm like, hey, this part of the meeting seemed like that maybe there had been some confusion. Is there any feedback you'd give me on that conversation that we didn't get to talk about in person? Then boom, you're right in there, and you're more likely to get an actual raw answer that's going to be helpful for you moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I like that. So what I was going to ask you next was to tell me about a process you're working on and why. But I it sounds like you're working on the program that you have right now and documenting that process and all that, so that it becomes more of a predictable outcome, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Absolutely. In all areas of my own marketing, because I'm trying to be better about engaging and creating sales opportunities for myself this year, which means I have to systemize the marketing back end. And the problem I fall into is I love that stuff so much that I get distracted by it. I'm like, oh, let's try this instead. Oh, let's add this. I can shoot video for that. You know, like, so I got to get stuff in place. So I'm guilty of my own, you know, preaching
and teaching. I think like I will say my own processes are harder to do than clients because you're so close to one, and then you have fun with it and you don't have anybody that's waiting on you necessarily. So you can experiment and play more, right? So yeah,
yep.
I definitely think that that's just, you know, part of being good at what you do. You just critique yourself nonstop. So, okay. So what I asked is, so what would you say is like the number one pain point for an ideal customer for you? Like, what is that feeling they feel right now? So if somebody's out there listening, you know, who, like if they were like, you know, I hear what Jake's saying, and I'm wondering if, you know, talking with Jake would be beneficial to me. Like, what is that number one pain point you're helping them solve?
Sure. My content doesn't work. I don't understand. I post on social. I have blogs. I have videos. That would be one major pain point. The other would be, I don't know what to post. I'm froze. I posted 2 months ago. I know maybe I have something to say, you know, because I am good at my job, you know, like that's kind of the two major places I normally start with people is, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a good one because I think, you know, you could be great at what you do, but and great, like even like with me, like when I get in front of a client and I'm in front of their problems, like, I can geek out all day and help them find solutions.
Right.
But it's like, okay, put this in a blog post. My mind goes straight to explaining the technical side of it, not necessarily. Right. And that just gets boring to people. Right. So,
right.
So trying to figure out, okay, how do I talk to the clients in a way to where they understand where I can get my message out in a medium that they want to actually consume. So that's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, people are selfish. They want to talk about themselves. So that includes us all the time. And even if we're doing it because we think we can help, people don't want to hear about you or what you do or how you help. They want to hear about, can you solve my problem? Talk to me about my problem. So that's where we all are guilty and not doing enough of it.
Because I think it's like for me, like I get excited about a new software, so I want to tell you all about it as a client. But you don't care. You're just like, look, is it going to help me what I'm trying to do, right?
Yeah, and it's a matter of knowing how to use that information to attract clients, right? Because a great post for you may be looking at three ways to automate. Here's a review of the top three, CRM systems. Right. That's helpful to someone because if they're not going to hire you, they'll at least have some information now from an expert about CRM systems. Right. And you go, Entreport's good for this and blah, 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 blah. And now you haven't wasted your time that you know, and you get to geek out on that sort of stuff. It's just what's your lens? Am I doing this to help a very specific problem or am I doing this because I'm geeking out and people need to know this?
That's a good point. Right? Yeah. Good point. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
So what would you say, like, obviously there's people we talk to clients that have, you know, their objections to certain things. And what would you say to some people that may be, you know, maybe they have your number one problem, but they're feeling like maybe coaching or hiring a coach or consulting is not the right move. What would you say to those people?
So for me personally, it's not that they have objections to that pain point. The people that feel it. It just is what it is, right? They know it's an issue. Typically, it's one of two things. It's either it's not a priority yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, yeah, I mean, it's a problem, but I mean, really, like, we're doing okay. I just wish we could do better, right?
Yeah.
So they're probably not ready for me yet because I want people who are like, no, we need this message out. People need our help. Like, and that's what another great thing about working with cause-driven organizations is most of those people are like, people, I need to give this to people. They need it, you know, or I've got kids in Ethiopia we're trying to support. People need to know how they can help, you know, stuff like that. So then the second thing becomes parting with their money. it just is what it is. It's like, is it a priority? Can I afford it? And can I trust you? Right. Like, how do I know you know what you're doing? Right. And that's when it starts becoming okay to talk about your work, you know, but do it in a way that shows you can solve their issue. Not, hey, I'm great. It's like, hey, look what so-and-so was dealing with. We help them with X. Yeah. So once again, it's just a change in the angle. So yeah, like I have the typical objections that most people do is I don't have the money. It's not that big a priority for me, or I can't trust you yet.
Yeah. I mean, and I agree. I mean, we have, you know, similar things we hear as well, same stuff. I mean, I think there's really just, it's, you know, timing, money. They don't think it's for them kind of a thing. Stuff like that. I think most people have the same objections and just for different reasons. For me, I'm very much like what you said. Like in some situations, like, okay, they're just not ready for me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm more in a boat to where like I don't want to convince people that they mm-hmm. need help, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, hey, I need some assistance. I need someone to help guide me through this. Then great, we're here and we're excited to help. But if you don't know that, or you're in a place where it's like, oh, this is bothering me a little bit, but I'm not really ready to receive help, then I can talk until I turn blue, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So in your business, what would you say has been your best investment? And this could be your personal development business, has been the worst.
Yeah, so the best is easy for me. It was coaching at the right time. There's no bigger, and I'm not really a coach per se. I'm more of a trainer and a consultant, and I have a coach type mentality, right? Whatever. I toyed around with a long time with calling myself a coach because I do have some of those traits, but I really want to get in and help solve problems and help show other people how to solve them, not coach them through things, right? So and the reason I figured that out is because I've hired enough coaches to see what they do different than I do. And so when I've had a big problem and it's been largely a mental block or something around, I've tried this over and over and over and it's still not working, I got to get somebody else inside my brain, right? That is absolutely time and time again been my best investment over and over. A sales coach, a business coach to help me figure out what was fiscally responsible. I've had a lot of different coaches. So, I love it. I appreciate it. The worst thing I think actually is technology. I think getting technology before you know what your process is a huge waste of money. I can literally have spent tens of thousands of dollars over the year and wasted money. I only used 5 to 10% of the tool I bought because I wasn't ready. I thought the tool was the answer. That was the problem.
Right. And we mentioned that earlier. It's like you buy the tool and it's like, oh crap, now what? Right.
Yeah.
And you end up using, I tell people with CRM systems, you end up using a CRM system as a digital Rolodex, right? When it does so much more than that.
An expensive one.
An expensive Rolodex, exactly. Yeah. That's awesome. So, but my next question was going to be about, just how people can find you and things like that. But before we get into that, actually, I want to kind of throw a curveball in there because I think it's important. Tell us about like your business name, like the impact over attention. Where does that come from? And what does that actually mean?
Yeah, there's a couple ways I landed on that. The first was that, like I said a little bit earlier about ad agency, a lot of people, not even the agency side, the client side, come to hire people because they want notoriety. They want attention.
Yeah.
They all want to make money, but at the end of the day, they really do want attention, right? And I just got tired of that sort of work. And then the second thing is I personally care about leaving the world a better place than I found it. And so I like helping other people make more personal impact in the circles they run in. Mm-hmm. So it's very important to me that everyone has a God-given talent and a vision and probably a mission of some sort for your life. And I want people to be able to be effective at that. Right. So impact is more important than attention to me. And then, I'm a faith-based person and I think, impact is what we're here to do. It's just to leave a lasting mark, with God's guidance. So, all of that kind of morphed into, I care a lot more about impact over attention and a logo came with it. And then a mission for me to go, I'm out to help people make a bigger impact versus attention.
No, I love it. I think that's great. And it makes sense, right? I think going after attention is hard because, like you said, that so many people are doing that and it's just so much noise in that part. So if you're going for the impact, making an impact, you're going to, kind of be rare. So you're going to stand, you're actually going to probably get more attention by going after
impact. Yeah. Well, what's funny is the big secret to my content training and whatnot is I just focus on you helping people better through your content versus getting more attention from it. Like that's the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, sure, there's, tricks and all sorts of stuff, but like at the end of the day, if you get known to someone whose content is super impactful to your clients, dude, they come and run into your door. It's how it works.
That's awesome. Well, is there any, I wanted to ask about, how people can find you, but is there anything else you want to hit on? Any more golden nuggets you want to drop for our listeners or are we good to go?
Yeah, I think we're good. I've got a couple new projects. actually, the Unlearned Show is a podcast that started a couple years ago, and we went on a hiatus, and we're starting back up. And so we're starting season 4 of the Unlearned Show. So if you just go look us up on pretty much anywhere, the Unlearned Show. Really excited to get back started with that, because a lot of that has to do with what people have unlearned versus what they've learned to help themselves grow personally and in their business. So that's a passion project for me. And then I'm starting another podcast here locally in DFW called Business First Responders, just given the environment we're in. There's a lot of people hurting. And so it'll be 4 of us that will be talking about how to be focusing on the essentials of your business so that you can get roaring when things get back normal again. Or in the meantime, you can try and kind of hang on to what you got. So another project working that's going to help people out. So that's the couple of things I'm working on. And then, of course, my website's Impact Over Attention. If you want free training, if you want just to get a hold of me, it's all stuff you can find there.
Yeah. So, and as far as like, so we have impactoverattention.com, right? Mm-hmm. And what about social media? You're on what platforms you're on, and what's the best way for them to find you there? You have like a, what's your tag online? Right.
So I'm either Jake Jordan or Bald Jake. That's 2 places you can find me everywhere. I spend most of my time on LinkedIn and Instagram. Okay. I cross post other places, but I just don't engage those as well. So you probably find me anywhere, but LinkedIn's where you can talk to me and hang out, and Instagram.
Awesome. Well, Jake, I appreciate you coming on to Process Madness and telling us your perspective on process and content and things like that, and how all that applies to businesses. So if you guys heard anything from the podcast that spoke to you, make sure you reach out to Jake and give him a chance to show you what he does. I've personally have had some opportunities to work with him and talk to him, and it's pretty amazing what he does. So definitely check him out. So again, Jake, I appreciate you being on here and sharing your knowledge with us. And yeah.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate it. Love what you do too. And I would say the same to anyone listening, man. He's done some good stuff for me already.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yep.
You just listened to the Process Madness podcast. If you're with it, like, share, and subscribe. Also, don't forget to visit us at processology.net if you're looking to operate better, live better.